questions that are concerned with the meaning of being. How in this acting and thinking of Lao Tse, the turn was brought about by taking the central concept of the whole Chinese mythical thinking, namely the concept of Tao, the way of all things, the way that all things go, the way the universe moves, the way everything has to be. Taking this very concept and turning the whole mystical world down by saying, and this way is not known, neither is it knowable. Tao is transcendent. Tao is meaning itself, which we can never have, never know, never be the possessors of truth, but to which we have an access by the power of reasoning, by being able to judge and to make decisions. It is almost already a Socratic approach. It is anyhow astonishing, and we will try to do that in review later, after we had Socrates, to find that the thinkers before Socrates, in this fundamental position, are all alike. They move all exactly with this negative, to say, we do not know and cannot know. But as soon as we know that we do not know, we can start to judge. We can start to reason, and then we are on the way. We cannot have truth, but we can have the direction towards truth by knowing constantly that we do and will not have truth itself. This knowledge of non-knowledge, as it has been called in modern philosophy, as the start of free philosophizing, is common to all of them. So Lao Tse's turn was that he for the first time asked the question nobody, as far as we know, had asked before, namely, is there any meaning to being? It had always been taken for granted in mystical thinking to such a degree that meaning is identical with being. The idea that there could be beings, let alone being itself, without meaning, is absolutely unconceivable for the mystical mind. The break with myth was exactly the asking of this question. This question sets men apart from being. As soon as he asks this question, he arrogates to himself a position outside of being or above being. He thinks that he is entitled to give his judgment of being. So the gods of myth could say to him, whoever asked you, who asked your opinion? What does it matter what opinion men have or man has of the world? But those philosophers think that this is the only thing that matters, that man can have opinions, make up his own mind, and ask, is it worthwhile to live at all? Is there any possible meaning to being? Lao Tse answers this with the first great yes. Here man for the first time says yes to the world, consciously so. Before it was not possible to say yes or no or to doubt or anything. He thinks he sees something in being that possibly could become meaning, what does he see? He sees different phenomena in being. He does not pretend to know being itself. He does not pretend to know a cosmos or a universe that amounts to be a cosmos. He only sees different forces at work. And of those different forces, he starts to sympathize with one. This force is the life-sustaining force, the nourishing force of being. He sees that man is able to identify, by recognizing this force, himself with this force. That man is transcendent. He is free to add something to the world. Something that without his acting would not come into the world. Something that is, so to speak, not foreseen by being. If being, according to its own universal laws, would go on, it could go on forever and ever in its eternal cycles. Without this one thing ever coming into the world, this one thing, benevolence, the sustaining force of life, creativeness, making things grow, making men grow, giving something. Man as a possible free giver who is out of compulsion, who after fulfilling his duties to compulsion, namely sustaining his life, making a living, going along with society, after all this is done, there is something in man that he can add. And by adding this goodness, benevolence, this life force that makes, grow, and creates, he himself becomes free. He is out of compulsion. It is his decision. He can do or not do. But if he does, then it is doing. It is not compulsion. It is not anything that he has been forced to do. It is something that freely out of himself, and he does not know where that himself is and what it is, but out of this self that he is, he can bring forth this new thing that gives meaning to life and to being, namely goodness. The self is discovered. Now the paradox is already in Lao Tse, and we will later see in Buddha even more apparent, that it seems in both thinkers and most and so in Buddha that they are self-denying. Selflessness is one thing they have in common. We interpret that always in the sense of morals, and especially Christian morals. We think they are altruistic, and they are common moral preachers who tell us that we shouldn't be so selfish. And we think they are even fanatical about it, because they go so far to speak permanently of the destruction of yourself. And then, in all their writings again and again, we find that they say, only the self can save us. Buddha always says, stick to the self. Take your refuge in the self and nowhere else. Both have that in common. Here we have an early concept it hasn't been entirely cleared up, of the things that only in modern time and by the help of modern psychology has become clearer to us. Namely, the difference between the individual and the person. What is to be destroyed, according to them, is the individual. What has to be built up is the person. If we put it in terms of selfhood, then we could say, you are yourself. You have to abolish yourself in order to become a self. As long as we are ourselves, we are not selves. In modern terminology, as long as we are merely individuals, we are not persons. Why? What is the difference here? The Christian concept of the soul is one that unites the person and the individual. It has done much harm to clear philosophical thinking and distinction that this Christian concept always had the identity of the individual and the person because of the infinite value of the individual soul. The soul would be the person. The individual soul is the unification of individual and person. And soul, the elder thinkers, do not have that. I hope we will see that Jesus of Nazareth doesn't have that concept either. It is a concept of St. Paul, and it is a concept of Plato. That finally determined all our Western thinking. That is the reason why it is so hard to go back to those original distinctions, because this thing was glued together into a concept which we have learned and which we always use. So I said, only in modern psychology, by mental phenomena observed, we came back to the distinction. We were forced to make a distinction between individual mentality and personal mentality. A mentality that seems to be absolutely different from the individual mentality. For Buddha and for Lao Tse, the thing was very simple. The individual was, at that time, in mythical thinking, and mythical thinking still prevailed when they taught and thought, absolutely identical with society. The unity of the individual and society was perfect at that time. That means an individual in our sense, an isolated individual, was not known. It is only the isolated individual that led us astray. They had a very more clear phenomenon before them. They could say what we only recently can see again, namely in totalitarian society and in the development of modern mass democracy. Namely, that the individual is really nothing but a function of society. That the individual is thoroughly determined by society again. And that was just the fact Buddha as well as Lao Tse wanted to free us from. So Lao Tse tried it in his mild way, namely to find one point where he could stand. understand. He denies all knowledge about the cosmos, about universal laws. He says they are too high for the human mind. We have no real insight into them. Why pretend? What we know only by inner knowledge. Inner knowledge means here our own experience with our own activities and results. That is the only thing he considers. So will Buddha, Zarathustra, and all of them up to Socrates. That is their common starting point. Let's look not into what we believe, not into what we think we know about the world. Let's take a hard look on what we do, what we are doing, and analyze that. So Lao Tse analyzes two kinds of human doings. Senseless doings, namely this busybodiness he condemns so much, and where he always recommends don't do so much, don't act so much. And on the other hand, this quiet activity of creativeness that human beings have, raising children, raising trees, helping the other one to come into his own, being concerned with the other personality. Those little creative tasks, those are the ones that interest. He's not talking about the great creative artist or the great creative wise man who knows everything. He's talking about what everybody can do. Things that are unobtrusive, yet decisive. And he analyzes those are the things we can add to the world. If we go this way, then we go the way of the Tao. Then we are directed towards the Tao. He does not claim to know God. He does not preach any ethics. He does not recommend any moral behavior. He only says, if you want to be a free being, that is out of cosmical compulsion, universal compulsion, if you want to enjoy the tremendous joy of creativeness that man out of himself can do, because he is a being that can be, if he recognizes he is a being that can be, and makes himself, then he becomes a self. This self or person he becomes the more he is ready and able to destroy his individual longings, his individual strivings in the world, because all those are also only compulsions. To free this self, with a capital S, from oneself is the act of liberation. Lao Tse said yes to being because he found a position from which man can act into being, and by this add meaning to being. His real theory is there can be meaning to being if we want to. If we use being in the sense to make it meaningful, then being is a precondition for meaning. But this precondition in itself has no meaning, will not avail to anything if man would not be added and therefore would not add to being. So man judging being finds by that act alone that he cannot possibly be contained in being, because if he were contained in being entirely, he could not judge being. In order to judge being, he must have a possible position outside of being. This can also be inside of being, in the middle of it. But it must be separated from being. He must be able to separate himself from being. He can do so, because later logic will never be able to explain why finds that man cannot reason without the concept of nothingness. If man did not have, opposite to the concept of being, the concept of nothingness, of which he doesn't know what it is, but he has that concept, and he is always able to put that concept against the concept of being. He doesn't know where he has it from. And the speculation on nothingness has run through 3,000 years of philosophical speculation. We ask the question a layer deeper. Is there a possible experience in man that entitles him to set a negative term against being? This negative term is nothingness. Yes, there is. The storm means nothing, but the difference that man himself feels from being, that he can set himself different to being, this enables him to conceive a concept of nothingness in order to contradict being. It is the root of our logical capacity. So it is a very positive thing. This can also be called, and men calls it that way, as soon as he speaks of being, then he speaks of being being infinite in time, infinite in space, but always infinite, never eternal. As soon as he starts to speak about eternity, he means something absolutely different from time and space. Not endless space, not endless time, but something absolutely different from time and space altogether. We have seen in our considerations of certain positions of modern philosophy in the beginning, where the root of this transcending our own concept of time and space lies. This root is our own inner experience of endurance, of duration. This duration, the very fact that we are always the same from the beginning to the end and have the consciousness of it, which makes a real present. This present we call eternity, because this presence has nothing to do with time. It has nothing to do with the, it is that what makes time, what gives us the possibility to have time, to take position in time, to have space, to make location in space, because we are the masters of time and space. And so we are the masters of being. By the term of nothingness. Nothingness is one of the deepest philosophical terms, if we understand it right. And it does not mean the nihilistic concept. The nihilistic concept has nothing to do with nothingness. Nihilism means merely that the philosophical answer to the ultimate question, is there any meaning to being, is, no, there is no meaning to being. That means nihilism gives the answer, meaning is senseless. A being is senseless, is meaningless. And as modern nihilism put it, nothing is true, everything is permitted. That is the nihilistic position. The nihilistic position has nothing to do with nothingness. So that thinkers, modern thinkers like Heidegger, for instance, who take up the term nothingness again and try to make something new with it, in the popular mind they are at once called nihilists because they speculate on nothingness. This has nothing to do with nihilism. Nihilism is only this denial of meaning to being, the absolute denial of meaning to being. That is nihilism. But speculative philosophy has to be concerned with the term nothingness because the term nothingness is only the logical mirroring of the fact that the human being is transcendent, that the human being is the only being that transcends being, that cannot be explained out of the context of being. And if we had the full insight into all being, we still would not be able to explain the existence of the human being out of this context. The very fact of man being transcendent is the root of our capability to speculate with terms like nothingness. Those are only tools we make, and we have to look, why can we make those tools and what do we use them for? We use them only in order to remind ourselves constantly that we are not explainable out of being, that we are the ones who explain being. So says the Buddha about the self. Take your refuge in the self. And he gives a general teaching, which is more modern than any modern philosophy. He puts it in one sentence. He says, no thing has a self except human beings. No thing has a self. That means the self is something transcendent that is nowhere present in being except in human beings. The self is therefore not explainable out of being and can become the master of being. In that his position is, or Laozi's position is not so clear as Buddha's position, but he is absolutely, he shares this position absolutely if you look nearer into Laozi. Destruction of the self, the individual self, does not mean asceticism. It means only to free ourselves, the individual, from the fetters of compulsion in order to become this self with a capital S, the person, this strange transcendent being, the only transcendent being that can become the judge and the creative worker of the world.